Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening, Brother Medlock. This is Aretha. I've just signed in. I don't know who was facilitating, but are you doing the program tonight?
I am.
Okay,
I am.
Well, we can get started.
Okay, sounds good. Good morning, or rather good evening, everyone. My name is Patrick Medlock. I'm the minister to the Spring Hill Road Church of Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. I have been given the task tonight to lead our discussion on managed masculinity, and the topic is designated for tonight is entitled, If Every Family Had a Father Like Me. And I'm taking that from Joshua chapter 24 and verses 14 and 15, as well as verses 29 through 31. And I'd like maybe some of the lessons from Joshua, in particular from the two major addresses that he gave in Joshua 23 and Joshua 24. For to serve as a backdrop for some lessons that maybe we can take on as fathers. Verses 14 and 15 of chapter 24 says, Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the fathers which your God, the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So obviously that is a passage that for many of you who are Bible students and Bible scholars out there, you're very familiar with. I like what is said additionally in verses 29 through 31 to show us further the impact of the assertiveness that Joshua puts forth. In verse 29, the Bible says, It came about after these things that the son, Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance, which is in the hill country of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gash. And then the Bible says in verse 31, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua and had known all the deeds of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. But the impetus behind my title is when he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is as strong a statement that I see a father make in the book of inspiration, to the point where Joshua was in essence saying, if I can rename it, if every family had a father like me, then every family would be serving the Lord, because he's saying very forthright, rightly, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'd like for us to have some discussions about, especially those of us who are men, who are fathers. Maybe you have a baby on the way. Maybe it's something that you want to do. Maybe it's something that you did in the past. Maybe you're out there and you're listening and you know what type of father that you had, and that somehow you can identify, because that statement would not be, if every family had a father like me, but if every family had a father like mine, I'd like to hear your comments and your statements as we finish out that statement. If every family had a father like me, then what type of family ultimately would my family be? I can really appreciate what Joshua does here in these two addresses, the address to the elders and to the officers and the leaders of Israel in Joshua 23 was pretty powerful. And then also, if you read the writ from Joshua 24, you're seeing some very, very powerful things being put forth. As we go in this hour, I plan to share with you, starting with this first particular item, what I think might be a good object lesson for us as fathers as we think about why Joshua would have the not only the testosterone, but the intestinal fortitude, spiritual gumption to say, as for me and my house. I think he would say that first and foremost because he learned the lessons that he needed to learn. If you read verse 14 again, the Bible talks about how that the fear of the that he told the Israelites to fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And then he says in verse 15 that they needed to get away from the gods of the Amorites. So you have three groups that had shown that people from his past had been prone to idolatry. But as a father and as a leader, he knew that even if his family history and if his nation's history spoke to something else, as a strong father, he can even break the family history. He wasn't plugged into a mentality that said, I have a generational curse, as we see a lot of our denominational friends speak to. But I, as a strong father, despite what my upbringing is, despite what the upbringing of my grandparents, I'm going to make sure that my family serves the Lord, and I'm going to encourage this entire nation to do so. He learned that lesson because of the omissions and the commissions that he saw in his family tree and in the nation's family tree, but he also saw it because or did what he did because of the mentoring that he had received from Moses. Deuteronomy 34:9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. So I'd love to hear from people in the audience to know whether or not maybe you were the father that you are because you learned lessons, both good and bad, from your family ancestry and your family tree, and or whether or not some of those lessons are lessons you learned, just like Joshua learned under Moses. If you're not familiar with that story, Moses took Joshua up under his wing early and taught him all the things about leadership. I'm sure Joshua saw some things even from Moses' family life that he ended up mimicking, to the point where with the lessons that he learned, receiving the spirit of wisdom from Moses, as well as the things that he was able to learn, both good and bad, from his family tree, he was able to guide his household and in turn lead a nation in an appropriate way. Are there callers out there who are willing to call us at the number 347-989-072, I believe is the number, to actually share with us what type of father do you believe that you are, and maybe whether or not some of those lessons that you were able to learn to be that father was because of either as lessons of omission or commission from your family in the past, as well as maybe some mentoring that maybe a person that might not have been part of your family tree maybe took you up under his wing and even learned some of the things that you learned. And I'm not even going to discount calls from people who can say, I learned what I needed to learn from my mother, from my grandmother, from my auntie, whoever it might be. I'd love to hear your calls as you speak to if every family had a father like me, whether or not you can speak, not in a braggadocious way, but to try to encourage people to be able to follow some of these spiritual and biblical principles so that they can live a spiritually appraised life and be able to bring their families up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Do we have any callers out there tonight. Aretha, are you still on the line with me, or is there someone else there? Are there any callers out there tonight that would like to speak to the our ability, to your ability to be either that father that all those families would want to be, as well as indeed being some of those, being that father that maybe others can emulate as a result of what they see out of you? I know I appreciate some of the feedback that people gave some of my parents, where when they saw all of our family members and all our siblings became members of the church, playing roles. My father, my brother is a song leader. My sister is teaching. Well, a couple of my sisters are teaching Bible school. Others are playing other roles with young people, both in and out of the church. They're all faithful. You know, that's showing that something went right, clearly, in those situations. So I'm hoping that we can hear from some additional callers. Again, if you don't know the number that's out there, the number is 347-989-0722. Again, that's 347-989-0722.
5762. State your question, your comment, please.
Brother Medlock, this is Brother Waring from Seneca, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to say, pardon me, I'm on the road, on the highway traveling, but I'm enjoying what you're saying so far. I want to say that I believe I'm a good father. I've got two daughters. But I definitely learned about being a father from my father, Willie Waring. He brought us to church. He didn't just send us. He was always active, always working. And I saw my father come into the church and begin at the Sunday as a bus driver, driving the van, and then becoming a Sunday school teacher and a Bible class teacher. Later, he got into the ministry. And he set a great example for me and my siblings. I'm a minister, and I've been ministering for 23 years now. My brother is a deacon in a church at his local congregation. My sister and her husband are very faithful at their congregation. So we have been truly blessed by our father's influence. And he always required of us that we do our best, but that we always remember the Lord. And so I do think that is such a positive role model. Some years ago, I was doing a lesson. It was coming up on Father's Day, and I entitled it From Boys to Men, and just talking about some of the lessons that my father shared with us along and along. My father was also an educator, a teacher, and sometimes you don't realize how blessed you are until years later. Some of the guys that I went to school with that I really would not have considered to be thoughtful, but I guess 20 years after I was out of school, I ran into one of those guys, and they were asking me about my father, and they just stopped to just say how many lessons they learned from him that I just took for granted. So I think it's such an important thing for us as men to be good fathers and also to set those good examples. So I just enjoy the lesson tonight. Thank you.
Appreciate that. And I'm sure that your father would be very, very – is he still alive? I'm sorry.
Yes, he is, Brother Medlock. He's still alive. Oh. And he is still active in church.
Wonderful. Is he with you, or is he in another location? I mean, is he connected to you these days?
We live about we're both in South Carolina, but he's near the coast, and I'm near the mountains, so we are about 250 miles apart in geographical locations. But he is very much although he's getting older now, he's still a very important part in our family's life. just setting good examples.
Now, he was not a preacher like you.
He was. When I was growing up, he was not a preacher. I'm 50 years old now, so he's been preaching for the last 30 years. But when I first, my father and I actually got baptized at the same time. I was 11 years old when he got baptized into Christ. And I saw him grow in his walk with God. And also, he was always a good father, but I saw him grow in his relationship with God and just leading us as a family. He ministered for about 25 years, and he retired last year from ministry. But I've seen him grow, being the oldest child, I saw him grow in his walk with God. And I saw the things he did to help lead our family so that we could be successful.
Well, as another second-generation minister, I'd like to commend you and your father. Obviously, I was able to hear your message earlier today, roughly 13 hours ago, on forgiveness, which I thought was a tremendous lesson. And the thing that I said to my father before he died, my father, who also became a minister late in life, Brother Waring, I was 11, and he was approximately 36, so he had done several other things before he decided to go into ministry. I told him, sometime, quite a few years before he died, that anything that I would accomplish in ministry, I feel that he would have had a hand in because of just the upbringing and the orientation that he had given me. Now, granted, I ended up learning much, getting a decent amount of experience after I had left my home congregation and ended up spending approximately 10 years under someone else before I came back just before my father died in his last 2 years. But even anything that I accomplish in ministry, ultimately God is going to receive the glory. But I also have said to him that I know that there would be no me as a minister if he had not made that commitment. So in a way, a lot of the things that I'm able to play a role in and be a spiritual catalyst in, I feel that my father, has a very, very strong hand in. And I'm wondering, you might kind of feel the same way based on what you shared here tonight. And I appreciate that very much.
Oh, most definitely, Brother Medlock. My father played such an important role. I saw him, he was a very loving man, but he was also very consistent. Daddy taught us to be consistent, to deal fairly with people, to deal with situations in a loving manner. And I saw him deal with some difficult situations. I also saw him take some stands for what was right, even when he had to stand by himself sometimes. And those things, they resonated with me. And so I see myself taking stands on the Word of God, even in difficult situations. But I gained that from observing him. I also, as I reflect on my childhood, my father was always there for the major things. He worked really hard. He always had multiple jobs. He was an educator as well as working with the church. But he was always there for us as a family. And that's one of the things I've tried to emulate with my family as well, is to find that balance where I am serving God, providing for my family, but also spending time with my family. And so there was definitely, whatever I accomplish, I definitely feel that I'm stepping on, or I'm climbing on his shoulders of the foundation that he has given.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing your story. Even if you're on the road, you still came through clear that entire time, and there weren't any problems with the signal. I appreciate your call very much. Thank you very much, Brother Waring.
You're very welcome, Brother Medlock, and continue on with the great topic.
Are there others who would also like to share with regard to their father and maybe how he may have learned certain lessons? Either your father learned those lessons and you can speak of it, or maybe you as a father can say, there are lessons that I learned. I know what not to do because of what maybe I learned from my father, or learn what to do as a result of what my father did. Are there others out there? Do we have any additional callers? Let me share a second point that might be an object lesson from Joshua, because not only did the statement, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," prompted him, what may have prompted maybe reworded by saying, "If every family had a father like me," I think these statements can be prompted because he also saw that what God had done in his life. If you look at Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 11, he in addressing this issue, God has Joshua to share with the people, "You crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite, and the Perizzite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Girgashite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hands. Then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you had lived in them, and you have lived in them, and you are eating of the vineyards and of the groves which you did not plant." Now, we know ultimately God was the one that provided for them. If you look at Joshua chapter 12, you're going to see a listing of all the kings and kingdoms that Joshua led the people in conquering. And at the end of chapter 12, the Bible is going to say 31 kings and kingdoms in all, Joshua was able to defeat with the help of the Lord. So Joshua was one who was not so wrapped up in his own accomplishments to say, "This is something that I did," but being led by that spirit of wisdom that we spoke of before, he knew that God had used him and used the armies of Israel to provide all these things. So that's partially what prompted him to say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will fear the Lord with sincerity and with truth," because he knew what God had already done in his life. Is it possible that you can speak as a father and maybe even as a leader of the church or as a leader in whatever other area other than your household? Can you speak to your own leadership ability being buoyed by the fact that you can see what God can do and what God has done? Joshua clearly said it, because in trying to motivate the masses there in Israel, amongst the children of Israel, he reminded them, "Hey, the cities that you're living in, you didn't build. You're living in a land that you didn't labor for. You're eating of vineyards and groves that you did not plant." A lot of cases, you can know that you wouldn't be where you would be if it wasn't for the Lord. And if you have the leader of the household that has that orientation and that can continue to lead the household knowing that God is able, then you can be a tremendous father and a tremendous leader, not just in your household, but also in your church family, in your community, in your workplace, because you know what God is capable of doing. Please give us a call at 347-989-0727. 2:2. If you are one of those fathers that can identify with Joshua in reciting and knowing what God has done during within your life and during your lifetime, are you one that can also identify with the first point where there are lessons of omission and commission that you can learn from your family tree, as well as mentoring that has helped you be the father that you needed to be? Because these first two points, because he was able to learn the lessons that he needed to learn, and two, because he saw what God had done in his life, definitely serve as solid object lessons that maybe can help us either be or be encouraged to continue to be the type of father that we need to be in our family, and ultimately be the type of father that every family needs to have. The number is 347-989-0722. Is there somebody out there who would like to call and either reference either themselves, their fathers, or others that they may have noticed are exhibiting some of these lessons that we can get from Joshua 23 and Joshua 24. While we're waiting for those calls to connect, please notice also Ephesians 3:20-21, because the mental attitude, the mental dexterity that needs to happen within a father's mind, I believe, is expressed very well in Ephesians chapter 3:20. To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. If more fathers can have that mental attitude in leading their families, then they can encourage their children and being able to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You can further foster buy-in with your spouse to help her be able to be not only the type of wife and mother that she needs to be, but life partner, as not only you might be raising your kids, but you may be serving as your Aquila and Priscilla in your local congregation. Because he saw what God had done in his life, Joshua was that type of leader in his family and beyond. I'm hoping that others can feel Joshua and identify with him. The number is 347-989-0722. Might we have any callers that are on the line that are willing to either share their stories, share how they might be able to identify with Joshua, or share how you have seen others exhibit the first two points, how that they learned the lessons that they needed to learn, or that they saw what God had done in their lives and was able to lead their families with that mental dexterity driving of their life and their leadership. Do we have any callers on the line who would like to comment one way or the other? I know that we have some wonderful fathers out there. I'm not sure if, how many callers we actually have on the line out there who would be like, who are even listening, but I'm definitely hoping that maybe there might be one or more who might be willing to identify in some level with some of the things that we have shared or have tried to share. I appreciate Brother Waring for coming in and making comments on the first point. You can still make comments on the first point, as well as make comments on the second point of as an object lesson for how fathers might need to consider leading their households. That number is, again, 347-989-0722. Do we have any additional callers who would like to comment on this topic, if every family had a father like me? Let me share with you a third point. Okay. Let me share with you a third point. And actually, if there are ladies on the line who would like to share things about either their husbands or their fathers. At this point, I would take uncles that you know who have played a role with their families that you can identify with. Please feel free to chime in on the line and let us know your comments about this topic, if every family had a father like me. And let me say this. The idea behind this is not that Joshua was perfect. I mean, Joshua certainly wasn't perfect. Neither was Moses, who was his mentor. I mean, quite frankly, I'm not perfect. My father's not perfect. I think I can speak for the Waring, senior Waring, as well as junior Waring are not perfect. So the idea of if every family had a father like me is not a call for a testimony to perfection. But the idea here is that you have some people who are making some good faith efforts to try to lead their families in the right way, and that God is blessing them because they are taking, to a great extent, a spiritually appraised approach in leading their families and in leading their households. So I'm hoping and praying that there might be one or two men or ladies who have some thoughts about exposures that they have. I see we may have one comment. If there's someone who'd like to share, I'd love to hear what your comments might be.
Brother McLaughlin, this is Aretha Cleveland. I have a comment on that. I wish more people had a father like mine, as far as he was not just in existence in the home. You know, a lot of times fathers are so busy working, trying to take care of the home, the mom is the more dominant one in the home. But my dad taught me a lot of things to where when I got out and started living as an adult, I wasn't trying to find my dad in a man. My dad, all the way up until 3 weeks before he died, was standing out on his cane washing my car. He taught me the things that how I should be taken care of as a female by not just talking but his actions, and that was awesome. He taught me how to believe in myself, and that's why it doesn't bother me to start a million things, because I feel that there's nothing I can do. He mimicked what the Bible says about you can do all things through Christ who strengthen you, because I also received that same strength from my father. So I think as a lot of people had a father like I did, who was hardworking outside of the home, but he was also hardworking in the home and teaching me and being that soundboard, that dad that would give me what I needed so that I didn't become this weak individual out there looking for him in men and falling for anything. He set the standards, and when he set those standards, I was able to become an adult and believe in them. If I came home and said, I want to do this, he said, what's stopping you? And he would go through a scenario of, okay, let's get this done. So I think if all people had fathers, you know, like that, including him sitting down and having Bible studies. I didn't hear my first Bible study when I got at church. I followed up with it from home. Him making sure that I had my academics. Him being in the audience, no matter how hard he had to work, but him being in the audience when I was in something at school. And that meant so much to look out there and not just see my mom, but to see my mom and my dad.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I really appreciate that. And there is always a really strong bond between girls and their dads, to the point where, you know, to be able to play a role as a father. And, you know, some of us, and I don't know what the situation is with your dad, whether or not he had both boys and girls that he was able to rear with your mother. But the idea that, I have one child, I have a daughter, and I know the impact that I have had, that I have, and that I think until the day I die, I hope to continue to have with her. And as she grows older, I'm definitely hoping to see, you know, some of the seeds that we've tried to plant in her really come to fruition and to really grow. because in a lot of cases, as a father, part of what we do is we are that, you know, if the mother has more of an orientation toward protecting, fathers may have more of the orientation toward driving and pushing all of their children, in particular the girls, to be able to say, go on out and take this calculated risk. I mean, I'm the one that, when my daughter was interested in being involved in the Mosaic Youth Theater in Detroit, when we were there, there was really some, you know, hemming and hawing and gnashing of teeth about being involved. And sometimes, you know, it's that father that says, go on out there, little girl. I know you got it in you. I know you can do it. In fact, we're going to take you to the audition. So I didn't wait for her to say, okay, I set up the audition. And so whether she was ready or not, she was going to go. And when she went out there, knocked the socks out of that audition, and she's continued to do that with all the other auditions for either music or performance since then. And that's something that oftentimes daddies will play a pivotal role in doing, not exclusively sometimes, but it's the mother that's in that corner. But a lot of times I know daddies have a very special place in a young girl's heart. So I don't know if there are other ladies out there who also would like to comment on their dad and the impact that they've had as we talk about the topic. If every family had a father like me, or if every family had a father like mine. But I'd like to hear from both men and women, or even if there are some younger children out there who may be joining the call, who may be able to say, hey, my daddy is the greatest, and here's why. I'd love to hear it. Let me share with you another point that we can learn from Joshua as callers are preparing to call in tonight for the final quarter of the program. Joshua, who said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He also kind of said those statements, makes that statement that I think could be paraphrased, if every family had a father like me. He could say that because he knew saving Israel started with strong leadership in the home. I keep referring to Joshua 23. And in Joshua 23, the Bible says, be very firm in verse number 6, then, to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right or to the left. If you look at verse 8, but you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. Again, in Joshua chapter 23, that is not an address to the whole nation of Israel. That is to the elders of Israel. Elders not in the ecclesiastical sense of what we see with ministers, elders that pastor the church today. But they were elders of their clans, meaning they were the elder statesmen who led their families, who led their households. So before he spoke to all Israel, he oriented the hearts and the minds of the elders to say the type of things that needed to be said just amongst them, so that they can understand that if Israel was going to be a nation that indeed was going to fear God and go from their ways of idolatry, it started with the leaders of those families. And so Joshua knew that the leaders of those families will be the ones that would continue to keep the momentum going that Moses started, that he was able to continue. But ultimately, we know that God was behind. So that, again, as I referenced chapter 24 and verse 31, which is a statement that is made after Joshua died, the Bible says Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, meaning those gentlemen who he addressed in chapter 23, who continued to live after Joshua, they continued to, in essence, fulfill spiritual legacy that had been put forth there, because they too had known the deeds, the chapter 24 and verse 31 says, they had known the deeds of the Lord, which he had done for Israel. So because they could see their family tree and knew what they needed to do, and because they had seen what God had done in their lives, they were the ones that led and continued the legacy of serving the Lord all the days, not only of Joshua's life, but also the rest of their lives. There's not a lot more that you can do other than to say, hey, during my lifetime, this is what I tried to do. But then also in being able to do that, you also want to see to continue to perpetuate that legacy further. That's why you saw in Deuteronomy 6, the scriptures talk about how that you need to teach your children when they go up down and when they riseth up and when they go up along the way, and that they should have these things abiding about their neck. So that it's not just about you, it's about also that posterity of leadership and legacy that you will leave behind. That's why we can appreciate what Hezekiah did when he did all the reforms, but we can not appreciate what he did, especially when God told him that he had 15 years to live, and somehow, some way, he didn't orient his son to be able to continue the reforms and the legacy that he was trying to put forth. But that's something that we as men don't want to do, and that's something that you as younger, as people who are being raised up by godly fathers, you want to be able to continue the spiritual legacy. Passages like Ezekiel 18 speak of those situations and circumstances where you'll have an upright father but not an upright son. Well, you might have an unjust son, but then a just grandson, and on and on and on. You'd rather have a level of evenness where when you have a father that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, when you actually graduate and you have your own house, you want to continue that sentiment in the position and in the ways that you can. As for me and my house, we're continuing to serve the Lord like my father did, and hopefully like the father before them did, and just continue to keep things moving forward. The number is 347-989-0722. Are there others, ladies, men, children, who would like to make comments either about how that your father, the you as a father, or how that your father may have learned some of the lessons that he needed to learn, how that he may have been guided by knowing what God had done in his life, or how that he just knew that in order to truly build a village, that it still needed to happen in the home, and that his strong leadership had to be a part of it. The number is 347-989-0722. Not looking for testimonies from men that may have been perfect, but men that can be somehow commended, or that you can say, I have tried to be this type of example, and here are some of the things that led up to it. 347-989-0722. Do we have any callers on the line who would like to respond and comment to tonight's subject? If every family had a father like me. In the few minutes that we have left, let me share with you what I think is a pretty solid resolution for men. Men can be individuals who can have a tremendous impact. That has been the primary emphasis of this discussion. However, I think it comes down to, if let's say that there are not enough men who can say, if every family had a father like me, maybe we need to encourage certain resolutions. Resolutions such as, I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. Maybe in order for men to be more comfortable saying, if every family had a father like me, men may need to resolve to say, I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the word of God as the spiritual leader of my household. Maybe if men could be more comfortable saying, if every family had a father like me, maybe there needs to be a resolve to say, I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me. Maybe if men are to be more comfortable saying, if every family had a father like me, I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all their hearts and with all their mind and with all their strength. These first four are truly spiritually appraised sentiments that every father, young or old, can resolve to either continue to grow toward doing or start doing as of this evening. If every father had a father like me, then there may be men who are willing to resolve to bless my children and teach them, I will train them to honor authority and live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. And as we close out this session tonight, men can be resolved that if every family was to have a father like me, then I will need to resolve to seek to honor God, to be faithful to his church, to obey his word, and to do his will. If every family had a father like me, I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill the resolution of the rest of my life for his glory. Joshua said in Joshua 24 and 15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I believe that if every family was to have a father like me, you'll be able to make similar statements like Joshua and to be able to have your own object lessons that you can be able to pass on to your sons or to your Timothys or Joshuas or Samuels, because again, we can continue to give glory and honor to God in everything we do and in everything we say. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity. Again, my name is Patrick Medlock. I'm the minister for the Spring Hill Road Church of Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. And tonight's discussion about if every family had a father like me is one that I'm hoping that you were able to benefit from, and that if you were here for the entire evening, that this was not in any way a waste of your time, because we try in our addresses to not just say something, but to have something to say. Thank you very much.
This episode of Manage Masculinity has been brought to you by the Solomon Society. If this episode has blessed you, why not bless your friends? Send them this online address, www.blogtalkradio.com www.facebook.com/thegraceview so that they can hear what you have just heard. And to ensure the continuation of this great ministry, please make a tax-deductible donation to the Solomon Society. You may text your donation to 404-620-2455. Or donations may be made online at www.solomonsociety.xyz. Thanks for listening, and may the wisdom of God be forever in you.